Hello, everybody, and welcome to Real Thoughts with Chris, formerly known as Dead Brain Reviews. I know it's the second episode, but I got an email from Anchor, which is where I record my podcast, and the email stated that due to my name, I would not be distributed on any other major podcasting sites, so I had to change it, from Dead Brain to Real Thoughts. So that's why that happened. Today I'm going to talk about Final Fantasy XV and the movie that accompanies it, Kingsglaive. Now, instead of doing movie and then video game, I'm going to do video game first and then movie, because talking about the game first would make the movie events so much easier to talk about, because I don't want to get too much into the world building regarding the movie. I want to get that done with the game. Other than that, that's the only two things I'm really going to talk about this review. Nothing else has really come out movie-wise except the James Gunn thing with Disney, and I don't know all the details around that and regarding that, so I really don't feel like talking about it. And video game-wise, I still have a couple more days until We Happy Few comes out. So when that comes out, I'll talk about that along with The Evil Within 2, since I'm almost finished playing that. So first thing I'm going to talk about is Final Fantasy XV. Man, oh man, this is going to be a tough one to review because there's so much I want to talk about and it's kind of confusing. I guess what I'll go with or talking about first is the plot. Now, you play as Noctis, a prince who set out with his friends and kind of his bodyguards to wed Lady Lunafreya, which is part of the opposing kingdom. You are from the Lucian kingdom, and she is from the Niflheim kingdom. Throughout the game and the movie, these two kingdoms are at war. And through the events of the movie, which I'll discuss later, there is a sort of peace treaty agreement where Noctis must marry Lunafreya. So this is where the game takes place, where the game starts, is that you are on your way to marry her, accompanied by your friends Prompto, Gladio, and Ignis. Now, throughout the journey, of course, something happens. I'm not going to say what. You'll discover that through the course of the Kingsglaive movie, which I'm going to discuss, like I said, later on. And now you are thrust into not only trying to make sure your childhood friend, Lunafreya, who is also your wife-to-be, is safe, but you now also must fight to regain your kingdom. Alongside that, the story is fantastic. I've never played a Final Fantasy game. This is the first one I've played, and it actually makes me want to go back and play the other games. I know they're all kind of their own individual stories in a sense, but I just want to experience it because this game was fantastic. Now, what I want to talk about, besides the plot, is the characters. You really start to really like these guys because they're all great. I mean, they're kind of in the sense, this game is fairly focused on the sense of brotherhood. Even though they're not brothers, they're on a journey. I mean, even this like main song for the game is Stand By Me, and if you haven't watched the original movie Stand By Me, it is wonderful. You should definitely go see it. But yes, that's the song they got for this, because really it is about brotherhood. I mean, these guys they stick together through thick and thin, and they go through pretty much hell and back to save their home. Now from there I'm going to talk about the graphics in the game are just superb. Some of the places you visit are just fascinating and just amazing to look at. The rich lore they got for the game is just incredible. I mean, there are some amazing set pieces. The environment is kind of weird. It's like a modern mix with like magic and kind of old-time-ish like gothic structures and things like that. It's really weird to explain. And that's through some of the game. Another part of the game, it's like a recreation. Yet again, it's like magic, but with like a Venice, like Italy kind of twist to it. It's really just interesting seeing these different kingdoms and how they're set up. Like I said, one's kind of like a Venice-style kingdom with like gondolas and things like that. Another one is just like a gothic kind of modern architectural kingdom where It's just so hard to explain. Now, the gameplay is a little bit mixed up this time around. Instead of approaching battles and hitting, you know, pressing attacks, where it's like your enemy takes a turn and you take a turn, this one's kind of free flow. And I guess in the same vein as like Batman Arkham, where you can swap enemies, you know, block attacks and things like that. And it really moves smoothly. You can even do chain attacks with your group of friends. And there are still summons in the game. I know that's a big part of the other Final Fantasy games. My cousin used to play them all the time, and I used to see them, just, you know, the giant monsters come in and just like wipe out a couple enemies. There are in this game, but they, I guess, work differently than in previous games, where you have to hit a certain criteria through a battle for you to summon one of the monsters, I guess you could say, or monsters in the game. Now, there is so much to do in this game. You can waste hours just pouring time into this game. Each of your friends, you and your friends in the game, have like a set personality trait. Your friend Gladio is kind of a survivalist, so doing things where you possibly get injured will build up his survival, like his meter in a sense, through the course of the game, where he'll like find potions randomly or things like that. Your friend Prompto takes pictures, which you can save the pictures, which is really interesting for the ending, which I don't want to get into. But if you save pictures throughout the game, you get a pick from them in the very end, which ones you like best. And it's really a touching scene. And then Ignis, which is also, like I said, another one of your friends. The game has a day to night cycle, where the nighttime there's more creatures out that are higher level than you. So low level players, it's best for you to go to these campsites they have in the game. And going through the campsites, that's where you tally your XP to level up. And while you're there, Ignis will cook a meal, and that meal will give status boost to your characters, saying you might do more damage, you might have more health for the affected time, depending on the meal. And then you, Noctis, have a weird hobby of fishing. Now, I'm not saying fishing in general is weird, it's just weird that your character in this fantasy world likes to fish. It's, I don't know, it's just weird to me, because, I mean, you can be fighting a giant monster only to, like, walk across a pond and be like, I'm gonna fish right here. It's just, it's really weird to me, but that's kind of one of the things I skipped over in the game. I do want to get into that. There are some parts of the game that are really, I wouldn't say bad, just kind of annoying. Now, along that, besides your friends, the side quests, there's two different types. There are ones where you go to restaurants and get quests, or called hunts, where you go and kill an animal or things like that. And then there's your more general side quest, where a character, an NPC, will have just a certain task for you, and it's pretty much like a fetch quest. Whereas the other one, you go and kill, and then it's pretty much a fetch quest also, but instead of going and getting something, you're going and killing and then coming back. Now, the one thing I want to talk about, the things I want to talk about that are kind of annoying, besides the fishing, like I said, which is just, I didn't really partake in it very much. I think I did it like twice, and that was just to test it out, is some of the story elements are, not story elements, but parts of the game that are trying to be impactful come across as really awkward. How I want to explain it is, I'm going to set up a scene for you. You're fighting a boss. Well, in the course of getting ready to fight a boss, and through this scene, you're walking around, and your character just kind of starts huffing and puffing, and is being an asshole for no reason. See it again. Sorry about my language. I don't mean to cuss, but he's being pretty much just a brat. Out of nowhere. I mean, for the first part of the game, he's very chill and doesn't, you know, complain a lot, but this part, he's just being really annoying. It just comes out of nowhere. And it just really detracts from, I guess, the emotional story, because then one of your friends has to, like,
sort of smack you around a little bit and, you know, get your head back on straight. It was just really weird for that. And it happens a couple of times in the game. Primarily with Gladio, since he's technically supposed to be the King's Shield, which he's pretty much the King's... I guess you have King's Shield. He's pretty much Noctis' right-hand man, I guess, in a sense. But they mostly happen with him, and it makes you kind of hate both the characters just for a little bit, though. I mean, after that, it goes back to normal, but it's just a very stark contrast to the rest of the game. Another thing I want to talk about is there is a weird product placement point in this game, and it's to do with Cup of Noodles. Now, I don't know why it's in the game or how it's in the game. I know how it's in the game, but I don't know why it's in the game whatsoever. But through the course of the campaign, you'll go through chapters. And through the chapters, you might lose just a party member for a little bit. It happens with all of them. Not primarily Ignis, but something does happen to him where he's kind of, for the first chapter, he's not necessarily gone. He's just kind of useless. But this happens when Gladio leaves and he comes back. And you have to do a side quest where you buy a cup of noodles, like the brand Cup of Noodles, and then do a mission to make your cup of noodles taste better. It's a side quest, so you don't have to do it, but it is some of the cringiest like product placement I think I've ever seen in a video game. And to top it off on that, say if you didn't do the quest, you would miss out on an item that you would need later, and you would need. Now, this game introduces specialized weapons called Royal Arms. Of course, you being a prince later in the game, becoming a king, you gain the weapons that your past ancestors have used throughout the game. And they're powerful weapons. Now, back to the Cup of Noodles thing. There's three different options that you can go after with the Cup of Noodles. It's like it's a different quest. And depending on what you pick, you might not even go to the area where this royal arm is at, and you'll miss out on it just entirely. So it's kind of crap that they put an item that you'll need that is essential to the game in an area that you might not even go and explore unless you do the damn side quest. That is product placement. So that's one thing that really bugged me about the game regarding that. And then the last thing I want to talk about that really just kind of was just bad was, as I previously stated, the game split up into chapters. And I know for those of you who've played it, you know which chapter I'm going to talk about. It is chapter 13. Man, this chapter sucked. In this chapter, they take away all your weapons that you've earned. They give you two weapons that are sort of powerful, but in the same time nerfed, as one is your father has a ring that is extremely powerful. But how they put it into the game is that you can't necessarily, you can use it, but it takes forever for it to regain your magic bar. It takes forever for that to regenerate. So it's like a one-hit kind of use thing, and then you go run, and then you have to hide, because it's kind of like a stealth section they make you use that into also. And another thing they give you is that they give you your father's sword, which it is powerful, but if you don't have a lot of health points or health potions, you're going to die because using royal arms does take your health away. So it's good to be stockpiled with health potions to heal yourself while you're using the weapons. So if you're in that situation, you got a weapon that hurts you, but does somewhat good damage, and a weapon that can one-hit kill, but if you use that one-hit kill, you're out of it until you're stuck using the weapon that hurts you until your magic bar recharges. And this scene, in this chapter, goes on for what it feels like an eternity. You're by yourself. Your friends aren't with you. You're running through it's a linear corridor, maze kind of situation with enemies that, depending on what level you are extremely tough to kill. and it'll wreck the, you know, wreck your shit. And it's just a kind of, it's annoying. It's really annoying. Which is a stark contrast, like I said, with the story plot of you just kind of out of nowhere acting like a brat. I mean, this chapters leading up to it are just fantastic until you get to that chapter, and then it just, it's like a brick wall that just hits you, and it's just, it slows the game down. But then after that, it picks up again, and then it's really good after that. And I have to say, I beat the game in the early hours of the morning. Now, like I said, I know I'll keep jumping back and forth, but the game has to do with Brotherhood, and you get attached to the characters in said game. And I don't want to give away the ending, but it is very, it's bittersweetish in a sense. So, in the early hours of the morning when you beat the game, the sun's coming up, and it shows the pictures that your friend Prompto has taken throughout the game. Just scrolling up with the credits, and as you hear a wonderful, like simply amazing rendition of Stand By Me by Florence and the Machine, it is one of the best endings to a video game I have ever witnessed in quite a while. It is simply fantastic. So with that being said, talking about the game, I'm now going to talk about the movie Kingsglaive. So I will be right back, and I'm back. Now, like I previously stated, I'm going to talk about the movie Kingsglaive, which accompanies the video game. It takes place before the first chapter in the game and during the first chapter in the game. And the movie follows Nyx, who is a Kingsglaive. He is sort of like a royal bodyguard to the king, Regis, which is your father, you know, Prince Noctis's father in the game. And through this movie, you, of course, find out what happened to Imsomnia, which is the capital city that your father is in. What goes on that causes the peace treaties not to, of course, go right. And the beginning of the peace treaty, you know, them discussing it and what to do and things like that. And I have to say, this movie is incredible. I didn't watch Advent Children, which I know is a good movie from what I've heard. But like I said, I've never played a Final Fantasy game, and this is the first one I've ever played. So probably when the Final Fantasy VII remake ever decides to come out, I'll probably try to watch that movie, since I know it goes with it. Now, the movie follows, as I previously stated, Nyx, who lives outside the city walls of Imsomnia, so he is kind of, as the movie states, an immigrant. Which a lot of people, for some reason, have a problem with, even though he's probably one of the better Kingsglaives featured throughout the movie. You know, they refer to him as hero because he does pretty much insane stunts to try to help win fights. Even though he's technically outside the city, he still tries to do his best to do his, you know, he still tries to do his job to the best degree possible. And, man, the way he does it is incredible. This movie has some amazing action scenes. And the CG is just incredible. I mean, at some points, it almost looks lifelike. That is, like, how good the CGI is in this movie. Now, some of you might not know. I didn't know when I was watching this movie, but the Nyx is actually voiced by Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad. You know, Jesse. I think it was Jesse. I can't remember. I haven't watched Breaking Bad in forever. But he actually does really good for voice acting in this movie. You can tell some of his delivery is a little bit cheesy, but other than that, it's pretty good. Another character I did not, actor I didn't know voiced, is Sean Bean, who voices King Regis, of course, Noctis's father. I also didn't know that either, and of course, since it's a Sean Bean movie with Sean Bean in it, and of course his character dies, just like every other movie Sean Bean's in. Now, I don't want to get too much into this. In a sense of, for those who haven't watched the movie, you're a fan of Final Fantasy, you simply just need to watch it. I can't stress this enough. It is incredible, the action scenes. Just seeing Imsomnia, because in the game they do show some scenes of the movie, but
watching it is just so much different and so much better. Seeing Insomnia in flames as a fight's just happening, you know, it's pretty much like you're watching a kingdom crumble, and they really, really make it crumble. I'm like, ugh, it is, it's insane. Also, you find out, if you watched this before the movie, playing the game, which is probably recommended that you watch the movie before the game and before playing, you'll learn more about the lore regarding the game, and you also find out about the ring that is important in the game. Granted, they give it to you through a crap chapter, but as I previously stated, but you'll still find out just how much power this ring has. And let me tell you, there is an insane fight regarding that ring and the things it can do. It is, I keep going back to it. It's just insane. It's incredible. Just the movie in itself. The plot's kind of 50-50 regarding, I wouldn't say that. It's a good story if you want to get more invested in the game. But you really just stay for the action scenes, because at one point, that's all they do. They just put action. Like, that's it. No more story development. It's just action. And it is nonstop. But there are some slow parts. I'd say about the first, I think this movie is an hour long. I think an hour and a half, maybe. I'd say about for the first 40 minutes, there's some action, but it is also kind of slow. But once it hits the action, it does not let up. But that's really all I have to say regarding the movie. I know it's not much, and it's not really broad to go, not a lot to go off on regarding, but I mean, there's not really much to say regarding the movie other than it's just, it's there for people who want to know more about Final Fantasy 15, the lore, and just the world building, and what happened through the first chapter that caused Noctis to go from just trying to marry to stop the war to now having to regain his kingdom back. So that's all I have to say really regarding that movie. Sorry about that, I accidentally hit the stop button. Sometimes my phone will shut off, and in doing so, it'll turn the Anchor podcast or Anchor app off, which will cut me off mid-sentence so I can't finish my podcast out. Where I was going with it is with Kingsglaive. If you love Final Fantasy, you want to know more about the lore, or if you just want to see a really cool action movie that's animated, it is a definite watch. I personally recommend it. With that being said, I'm going to do my outro for the podcast. But before I go, I must do my one bit of movie trivia today. And today is actually going to be about Silence of the Lambs. Now, Buffalo Bill's dance was in the original book, but it was not in the original script. Now, the actor Ted, I think it's Ted Levine, how you say his name, ad-libbed the dance in the film because he thought it would, or not ad-libbed it, but he just kind of did it out of nowhere just because he thought it would help explain the demented character that he's portraying. And I have to say, watching the movie and seeing a grown man dance and tuck his stuff in between his legs, I'm never going to listen to Goodbye Horses and not think about that. He owned that scene and that song. Whenever that song comes on, you know something weird's about to happen. But with that out of the way, thank you for listening to Real Thoughts with Chris, or Dead Brain Reviews, whichever you want to call it. You know, it's whatever you want to do with it. Thank you for listening, and tune back in next Thursday or Friday. I'm still trying to figure out when I want to release these. So thank you for listening.